On the bulletin board out there, there is three QR codes, and here they are. If you want to get receive church announcements, you click that one. If you want to see receive Mighty Army, you click that one. If you want to see prayer requests, you click that one. And if you're not good at clicking, dial 833-861-7059 and tell Linda what you want to be on, because she'll put you on every one you want. You can go 1, 2, 3. You can go on all three of them if you want to. But that's what this is for. It's out there in the lobby and over in the hallway in there, but you can't see in there today because there's no power over there. But you'll see this, and this is awesome. And so and also, if I'm doing Mighty Army on a group text and you're getting this, please tell me and I'll take you off the group text. Okay? Because I don't know who's getting what. I just know that I got the group text going while we were trying to get this going. Now, this is going full-fledged. It's great. And you might even be getting pictures on Mighty Army now. Before, Mighty Army was just words. Now you're getting a picture and words. And so that's pretty cool. And so if you want to get on it there, just skim it. And you can get it. And when you're tired of it, hit stop. And guess what? It stops. Amen? Isn't God good? Go ahead, sister. Beautiful. That's right. That's right. Now, that was a trio, so was that post. Oh, you know what? I want you to think about this. Always have this in your mind. When you're doing something for God anywhere, but especially in the church, what can I do that's pleasing unto God? And what can I do that helps the church look like we care? Okay? That should be our motto. Is this going to make the church look like we care? And is this going to make God happy? So, first I want to tell you this little story, a cute little story I read about Thanksgiving. It's the one year a family gathered around the table for the big meal. The turkey was golden brown, the mashed potatoes were piled high, and the pumpkin pie was waiting in the kitchen. Everybody sat down, bowed their heads, and the father prayed, "Lord, we thank you for this food, and we ask you to bless it for our bodies." But just as he said amen, the youngest child shouted, "Wait! We forgot to thank God for the smoke alarm." If you use a smoke alarm as your cooking timer, you may be a redneck, all right? All right. Everybody laughed, but here's the backstory. Early that morning, the turkey had burned in the oven and the smoke alarm went off. The family rushed in and saved the meal and ended up with a turkey that was actually better than before. That little child reminded them that sometimes the things that we complain about, like a loud smoke alarm, are actually blessings in disguise. And then at the heart of Thanksgiving, see God's hand in everything in our life, including the interruptions, the detours, the unexpected moments, and the light poles that go down with the tree. Actually, believe it or not, that was a blessing. It was a big blessing. Sometimes things that stop us are the very things that save us. Amen? So here we are. I'm going to try it. I'm not used to using this one. Let's see. There you go. The next 3 weeks, I've been working on for about 3 weeks now, maybe four, unusual Thanksgivings. We usually have the normal Thanksgiving sermon, blah, 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 and it's good. But you just know what I'm going to say. You already know what's coming up. I promise you, you don't know what's coming up today. Amen. But just for our beginning scripture, let's all stand. And this is the last of the normal part of this scripture. Turn to Thessalonians. Praise God. Get over here. I'm trying to. My pagers are all. Humidity must have got them. Come on, we got you. When that tree fell, it hit the humidity in this place. All right, here we go. 1 Thessalonians, if you don't know where 1 Thessalonians is, it's right before 2 Thessalonians. Ready? Say this with me. Say it out loud. Verse 18. In everything, give thanks. Whoa. Even when the bad things happen, even when you're taking out a tree and the telephone pole falls, even when you go to get your car repaired in a repair shop and when you're backing out, you back into somebody else's car. Even when you get ready to go to bed at night and realize you had three papers due tomorrow and you ain't started on any one of the three. Thank God for everything, even if you and your spouse are not on good speaking terms. Thank God in everything. In everything give thanks. Ready? Say it with me. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Don't say that all you're going through is His will, but it's His will for you to thank Him while you're going through it. So stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we thank You, God, for Your grace and Your mercy. We know, God, that You are alive and well. And we thank You, God, for all that You do and all that You say in Your word. We know, God, that You are alive and well and on the throne. I ask You right now, Lord, to minister in the way only You can. And Lord, help us to be thankful for everything in our life, even the interruptions and the stops that seems to us is unnecessary. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated on the way down. Tell somebody and say it like you mean it. The past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Praise God. So unusual thanksgivings. I'm still having a hard time. There you go. This thing will work here. It's going to work eventually. I'm thankful for donkeys and detours. I told you weren't knowing what was coming. I am thankful for donkeys and detours. And the subtitle is what he said. Turn to Numbers 22. I hear people all the time say, numbers aren't important. Numbers aren't important to God. If they ain't important, why'd He make a book called Numbers? Numbers 22. You can stay seated. We're going to read this. And the children of Israel set forth and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all the children had done to the Amorites. Now remember, these guys are going through the wilderness. This is, remember, God told His people, when you go through the wilderness, if you do it My way, you're going to take all this land and all this territory. And so that people were seeing this. They were noticing this. They saw this, and they saw what was coming. And Moab was so afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. Do you know there's a lot of people, you wonder, do you think they're mad at you or they don't want to be around you? Do you really understand that sometimes you get around people and you don't have to say a word, just the presence of God in you distresses people? Have you ever noticed how you can walk into a certain situation and the conversation changes? They may be cussing, ripping around. They might not even know you. But when they see you and feel the presence of God that you're carrying with you, they change their language. It's because God is in you and His presence terrifies the devil and also it scares people. So Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that is round about us as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam, the son of Beor and Pethor, which is by, and the name of the donkey was Eor. Numbers 22. Right now? Right, Numbers 22. What were you asking? Yeah, 20. I'm reading all of it though. I'm reading the whole thing. Okay, I want you to give a set of good back. You're right, thank you. I didn't realize I just had 21 through 31. I'm reading all of it. And he sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam the son. That way you can understand this. I need you to understand this, okay? I really need you to get this down good, because after the first year, maybe even the first of the year, we're going to talk about Balaam again. So you're going to hear about Balaam again, okay? All right, let's just go to verse 6. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me these people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure they shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For what not he whom thou blessed is blessed, and him who thou cursed is cursed. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came to Balaam, and they spake unto him the words of Balaam. Now Balaam was not an Israelite, but he was still a prophet. Okay? God has Israeli prophets. God has Gentile prophets. This was a Gentile prophet. He really had nothing to do with Israel, okay? But when he said blessings on people, they were blessed. When he cursed them, they were cursed. And he had visions and divination. And so this man was the real deal. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the prince of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, what are these men, these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt with covered the face of the earth, but now curse me them, peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people of God, for they are blessed. Don't touch God's anointed. Amen. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the prince of Balak, get ye in your land. And it's a good Thanksgiving message. We ain't even got going good yet. Ready? Get you into your land, for the land refuses to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went into Balak and said, and Balaam refused to come with us. So Balak sent the princes again, more and more honorable than they. So now he's sending the bigwigs. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee with very great honor. Now look, they're up in the ante all the way around. And I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the lords of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now, therefore, I pray you, tarry ye here all night, and not that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God came unto Balaam that night and said unto him, if these men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto you, don't listen to them. You do it my way. All right. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled when he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass and turned her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall being on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there is no way to turn, either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there was a sword in my hand, for now I would kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am I not thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? And was I ever want to do so unto thee? Meaning, I'll do what I've always done, exactly what you wanted. He said, yep. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down upon his head and fell flat on his face. Wow. So instead of talking about turkeys, we're going to talk about donkeys. Amen? All right. So now, let's go ahead with these, with an unusual, and I do mean an unusual Thanksgiving. An unusual Thanksgiving that I am talking about is God sending donkeys and detours in your path. Wow. So here it is again. It's Numbers. This is the story we just read. And there's Balaam's ass. Now, here it goes. I'm going to get it eventually. I should have my regular. There you go. Here it is. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. You see, Balaam's donkey sees what Balaam cannot see. Amen? Because Balaam has got his mind in another area. But the donkey was pure. And the donkey was eager to please his master. So, can we see God uses detours to protect us? Sometimes you get in traffic and you're thinking, God, I really need to get there quick. And you find out when you get there, there's been a wreck behind you. I remember one time I went and preached in Edenton. And as I was leaving, the pastor put some money in my hand and says, I need you to do me a favor. And I was me and DC was little and Daniel was little and their mama. And he said, I need you to do me a favor. I said, whatever you need, man. He said, I need you to stop. There's a steakhouse up the road. I need you to stop at that steakhouse. And I want you to take the money I gave you, and I want you to buy you and your wife and your kids a good steak supper. I said, but I really need some things, a battery and stuff. He said, did you hear me? I want you to go stop at that certain steakhouse, and I want you to get you a steak supper. He said, because if you eat hamburger, you preach like hamburger. But if you preach, that's what he told me. But if you eat steak, you preach like steak. I said, well, if that's what you want me to do, you know. So I stopped. We all stopped and had us a good time. And DC and me, and we ate steak. And his mama, she ate fish. And Daniel, I'm not sure what he ate that night. But if I hadn't have gone, I'd have ate crow. Because when we got on the road, I noticed how bad the weather was. And when we got on the road and took off, you could hardly see the road for all the debris on the road. And we found out that a tornado had just come through. And if I had not been there eating a steak, we'd have got in trouble with that tornado. So that was a good detour. That was a steak detour. But still, that interruption God used to take care of me and my family that night. So here's my question to you. Let's see, I'm going backwards. Let's get here. I'm trying to get it right. I'm not used to using a foot pedal for my hand. All right, ready? Here it goes. Yeah, that's right, it's a foot pedal. And I put my hand to the foot pedal. All right. And all these things were more than conquerors through him that loved us. So watch this, the magical question. I'm going to ask everybody this question. Ready? Have you ever been stopped in your tracks by something you felt was an inconvenience? I put a few up there, flat tire, a missed flight, a closed door. Something you were expecting, it was a done deal. And then something happened. Wow. You see, you may not see it then, but later, I promise you, you will see how it saved you. You see, in this story, everybody thinks donkeys are stubborn, right? In this story, Balaam thought his donkey was stubborn, but Balaam was the one that was stubborn. Anybody here stubborn, are they? It's a gift I've got. Amen. All right. But what he thought was a stubborn donkey was his salvation. You see, God will use some of the most unlikely voices, and he saves us through some of the most frustrating detours. I think about it time and time again, how I was going one way, but the Lord sent me another way through a detour. And when I got to the detour, I was aggravated. It took more time. I wasn't expecting that detour. It put me behind. But when I got there, I found out that I wasn't behind at all. I was actually ahead, and God protected me along the way. So saying God can use some of the most strangest of voices to talk to you if you'll listen. Amen? But you got to listen. So, the blessing, this Thanksgiving, here it is, this Thanksgiving, I want you to learn to thank Him just not for the blessings you expect, but for the interruptions you resent. If you're a type A personality, I just kicked you in the mouth. I had to write that 3 times. Every time I'd write it, my type A word processor erased it. I said, put it back. And it said, no, this ain't you. Take it away. So don't just thank God for all these blessings you got. Thank God for the interruptions and the problems and the delays that you resent and wish you didn't have. Okay? So now, let's keep on moving. And it's a good Thanksgiving sermon. Amen. So here we go. I love it. Look at this. Something's up. The farmer just unfriended me on Facebook. Yeah, we got a problem. Houston, we got a problem in the barnyard. Amen. Thanksgiving is always about the obvious blessings. You know, our family and our food and our health and our provision. Man, we love this. We talk about this. We get around the table and you can say what we're thankful for, and we talk about all this stuff. But Scripture reminds us that sometimes the greatest reasons for thanksgiving and for gratitude comes from places you had no idea it was coming. Wow. Thank God for things that you never, ever, ever expected. I remember when we moved to Benson, I was busy. We were doing a lot of work. And I remember being in that place, and I remember when this guy come to me and said, look, there's 2 things we need. I said, what do we need? He says, there's a young lady. She's been in prison. She's got a baby coming, and they're letting her out so she can have her baby out here. And the hard part is her stepsister is gone. She's in care of the state. And said she wants to get her back. Do you think after you meet this lady, you could go help her? I said, sure. And many, many times I'd stay there all day long at the court. All day long. They wouldn't see her. I'd have to go back the next day. All day long in family court. I can't tell you how many hours and how many delays and how many detours. And no matter how we tried, they kept saying no, 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 no. And that child kept getting passed around and around and around and around. And then at the end, after all those detours and after all those aggravations, they said, will you please take her if you can? And that's how we wind up with Bethany. There are all those aggravations and all those detours in that court and all that stuff, because what had happened was the lawyers and the judge and everybody saw that I was at every one of them. I even stood up and talked against her dad and her stepdad, who both had molested her and hurt her. I stood up, and they got to where they had me in every court. I was going up, and I was testifying. And so at the very end, they come to me and said, can you please take her? And so if I hadn't have kept moving through the detours, if I just said, forget it, I don't have all this time, for 3 years. 3 years. If I didn't know, if I hadn't have known, then guess what? If I had quit, I'd have never got Bethany. And so I thank God. Sometimes what you think is a detour is a blessing, because one of the most blessed things I ever got was Bethany. Now, Numbers 22, Balaam is on his way to curse Israel for profit. He's riding his donkey, and he's so blind to what he's doing that he's going into danger and can't see it. His donkey can see it. So the donkey sees the angel of the Lord with his sword drawn, and three times, three detours, he comes at him. And so each time Balaam beats her, and finally God opens the donkey's mouth, and she goes, "Why do you do it? Can't you see the detours? I can't. Yeah, and you're aggravating me. And if I had a sword, I'd kill you." And so God had to even make the donkey talk, so he could see he was going in the wrong direction. You see, it's a strange story, but it's also a Thanksgiving story, because sometimes we need to be thankful for the donkeys and the detours that God sends our way. Amen? Now, I love this. What are you thankful for? I overheard this in the barnyard. Two turkeys talking. The first one said, "What are you thankful for?" And the next one said, "Vegetarians." Amen. All right. Balaam was many faceted, a man, many facets to this man, facets. He was a man of God, but at this moment, he's a misguided man of God. Listen carefully. Balaam was blinded by his own ambition. Sometimes we get so gung-ho that we leave God out of the mix. You ever done that? I have. The preacher get me fired up. I'm ready to go fight, go like walk into the hell and fight the devil with a water pistol. And I run outside and I go, "Wait, where is it? I don't even know where I'm going." And I get burnt. So it's very important that you don't let your own ambition get ahead of God's calling. Amen. So donkey saw the angel of the Lord. Balaam couldn't, because Balaam was blinded. All he could see was, "Man, look at all this. I'm going to get out of this." When he needed to see what the donkey saw. So here's the three detours. And this is what we're going to talk about next year in January. The three detours. First, he threw him in the field. Ran right off in the field. That didn't stop him. So then he ran him against the wall and hurt his leg. That didn't stop him. So he lay down right there in the path. It still didn't stop him. Talk about stubborn. The only person I can think of in the Bible that may be more stubborn than him was Jonah. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh. But instead he went to Tarshish. He had a 700-mile journey this way, but he instead chose a 2,000-mile journey that way. And along the way, there's a storm. I won't tell you the whole story, but there's the whole storm. And the guys throw him over. And then he said, "What's going on?" He said, "God told me to go to Nineveh, but I'm going to Tarshish. And so it's me causing the storm. Just throw me over. The storm will stop." They threw him over. The storm stopped. "Now, what you going to do? I'm in the middle of a sea." And God prepares a big fish, swallows him. And he calls that big fish the belly of hell. He's got that gastric juices going around his face and all his body. He's got dead fish and dead things and seaweed. And for 3 days, he said he went up and went all the way down to the bottom of the earth and come back up, the bottom of the mountains and come back up in the belly of hell. And on the third day, he said, "Okay, I'll do what you said, God. I promise you, if that had been me, on my way down to fish, I'd have said, 'Okay, God, I'm ready.'" It wouldn't have taken 3 days. But sometimes we're so stubborn. And here it is again. Balaam is so stubborn. And again, I can't wait to preach that. But see, again, it was Balaam who was the stubborn one, not the donkey. And he beat the donkey, but she was saving him. God opened her mouth, and he opened Balaam's eyes. Isn't that something? Opened her mouth and opened his eyes. So let's get a little bit further here in this. God has chosen God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of this world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring nothing to the things that are. Amen. Here it goes. Donkeys. Donkeys. Y'all say donkeys. Or in Shrek, it's called donkey. How you say it? Donkeys? Donkeys. 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 All right. It's almost like a hee-haw, donkey. Donkey. All right. God speaks and through unlikely voices. Balaam's donkey spoke truth when Balaam was blind to the truth. Wow. That's a powerful, powerful thought. Here's the Amplified Version, 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God has selected for his purpose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise, revealing their ignorance. Oh, we sometimes think we're so wise and we're so ignorant. I don't mean I'm not being mean. We're ignorant of what's coming. We're ignorant of what's happening. God has selected for his purpose the weak things of this world to shame the things which are strong, revealing their frailty. So let me just give you a couple of stories. I've been doing a lot of research on some of these stories lately, and it's really awesome. In 1977, did y'all hear about that blackout in New York City in 1977? Anybody hear about that? Okay. Some of y'all might have even been there. In 1977, the blackout plunged the city into chaos. There was looting and fires broke out. Yet in Brooklyn, one small church lit candles and opened the doors. Okay, let's pray for them right now. All right, y'all stand up. Let's stand up. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, touch Alan. Bless him, Lord, whatever his need is, bless him, heal him, show him your power and your anointing, and bless his mom and his sister. Bless them too. And we thank you for your healing virtue. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. And let us know what's going on, okay? All right. You call us anytime. All right. All right. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. So this church in Brooklyn, in this whole area that's dark, this small church in Brooklyn lit candles and opened its doors. The neighbors poured in, frightened and restless. The pastor preached by candlelight, and dozens of people gave their lives to Christ. Out of that donkey, out of that blackout, came a massive revival in that church. Wow. Give you another story. Anybody ever hear of Edward Spencer? He was a champion swimmer in the 1800s. He's ever in the Great Lake area, and he was a Northwestern student, and one of the ships collided with another ship, and there was 400 people that were jeopardized by this crash. He, without even thinking about it, in the cold waters, does hook a rope to himself, and he swims out. He's a champion swimmer. He swims out, and he rescues 17 people in the cold waters. He swims out, gets one, comes back in, goes out and swims, comes back in. And what he did caused him some bad injuries, and he never regained his full health. Never. He was in a wheelchair the rest of his life. Years later, at his funeral, it was noted that not one of the 17 people that he saved came back to thank him. Wow. Now my question is, do you stop and listen to the donkeys? You give these words some validity. And if you happen to be the donkey, don't be surprised if it goes unrecognized. But notice this. It will be recognized. Look, here it is. Ready? Who are the donkeys in your life? Don't point at me. I'm not a donkey. Do you ever overlook who God uses to speak into your life? The donkeys, the detours. Let's keep on going. A man's mind plans his way as he journeys through life, but the Lord directs his steps and establishes them. Proverbs 16 and 9. You see, detours. Y'all say detours. Detours are God's redirections. Amen? Here's another. I got some more stories. I've been studying these stories. I've been getting some because I know y'all get tired of hearing the same old stories. So I'm trying to get some stories, some new stories and some new jokes. So far I got new stories. I will get some new jokes one day. All right. Anybody ever hear of David Blair? David Blair was a British merchant seaman on the White Star Line. He was the second officer of the RMS Titanic. He helped fit it. He did the sea trials in Belfast in early April 1912. He knew the ship like the back of his hand. And he had seen all her preparations and all the test runs. And he was proud to be a part of the largest, most luxurious ship in the world. But just days before that major voyage, at the last minute, Chief Officer Henry Wilde had been serving on Titanic's sister ship, the Olympic. And he got promoted and they put him over at the Titanic. And so in order to make room for him as a senior officer on the Titanic, David Blair was sent to another ship. He was heartbroken. He felt like the people had done him wrong. He said, I was the one that set this up. I was the one that did all this. He was devastated. But guess what? In the middle of his crushing disappointment, he didn't die in 1912. He lived till 1955. Long enough to reflect on how a bitter disappointment became his salvation. Wow. I got another one. I've told you I got a good book. Corrie Ten Boom. Everybody remember Corrie Ten Boom? She was held in a Nazi camp, concentration camp. She writes in her book that God blessed her through fleas. How many like fleas? I don't. My cats don't. My dogs didn't. My house didn't. I don't like fleas. But in her concentration camp, she's in one of the toughest, meanest concentration camps there was. And it was so bad, there was like five times as many people as should have been in her little bitty barracks. And in that little bitty barracks, they had flea infestation. And so the fleas filled up that place where they could hardly stand it. They were itching so bad. But it became a blessing in disguise, because her detour of the fleas kept the soldiers out of it. The soldiers never went inside, and they had Bible studies uninterrupted. Wow. Think about something. That detour, that stop, it's amazing what it did. You see, God's detours are His protection. Proverbs 16:9, the Lord establishes His steps. Balaam had it all figured out. In his mind, he had it all figured out. But God was the one that stopped him and said, that's not what I want. Isaiah 30:21, God redirects our path. So, here's the application. Detours may feel frustrating, but they are often God's protection. Don't be so anxious to blame God in a negative way for a detour that may have saved your life. That pole, because it was rotten, had already started going because it had pulled on the weatherhead on the roof. It was already going. We didn't know that, what was going on. And so all it took was just a little bitty limb to make that pole fall. But can you imagine if a car was riding by one day when it finally snapped? Or the kids were out playing. Or a whole family's out there when a hot wire goes across the road. And so, yes, it hurt. Though we don't have any power over there right now. We got it here. We got over in the fellowship hall. We're still having church. But I thank God for that detour, because although it's frustrating, I'd much rather be frustrated. You know what I did Thursday? Wednesday and Thursday, Wednesday night and Thursday. I preached a funeral for a 6-month-old baby. And when Steve told me about that tree falling, and I saw the video, I said, I'll take that any day over a 6-month-old dying. Because I'm looking at y'all, I don't hear what I heard in that family. Amen? So, again, many times God's protecting us. So, be thankful. I love this. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening, but it is painful. But afterwards, there will be peaceful harvest of righteous living for those who are trained in this way. When it's talking about there's no discipline, it's not talking about being whooped with a belt. It's talking about training. Training. That's why I put the weightlifter there. It hurts to lift those weights. And you can hurt yourself if you don't do it right. But, and I've had to have several operations because I was out there lifting weights. And so I quit lifting weights for many years because I still, every time I start lifting now, I feel where I've pulled and where I've tugged. So I had to be real careful. So weightlifting ain't all it's up to be if you don't do it right. Look at this. Be thankful for God's disruptions, for his interventions. Hebrews 12 and 11 says, discipline feels painful, but it protects. Here's the story. One more story. In World War II, there was a platoon on a special mission. They were deep into enemy territory. And they were going through on this mission, this whole platoon. They're going through, and I forgot the name of the platoon, but they're going through, and they're in enemy territory. And just as they were getting ready to make their final move to go in, an antenna breaks. And so they have to stop because they've lost all communications. And so while they're stopping, and they're aggravated because they're trying to work this mission. You got to do the mission, but you can't do it if you can't talk to the generals and stuff. You had to be able to talk communication to the base. And so while the radio man was fixing the radio, the scouts went ahead and come back and said, they were fussing about that antenna. And when the scouts come back, they said, you better thank God for those antenna, for that antenna. He said, because we were getting ready to step in an ambush. The whole platoon would have been wiped out. You know what? God's interventions may hurt, but they save. That broken antenna was a frustrating delay, but sometimes God allows the break in order to push the breke. And I thank God. I thank him for it. I thank him for it. I can look back many times, and I've seen where God stepped in when I didn't know it. And if you think about it, you can remember the times that God did that for you. Let me back it up a bit. Did you see that? There he was. He sees him now. And he goes, oh, wow, I could have had a V8. Next Thursday, when you sit at the table at Thanksgiving, don't just thank God for the turkey and the pie. Thank you for the donkeys that spoke even when you didn't want to listen. By donkey, I mean somebody you don't think's got enough sense to give you any direction. Not a physical donkey. It's somebody you don't think, they don't know what they're talking about. Some of our biggest, we had a lot of problems when I was at Procter & Gamble, and I carried it over when I was at Fountain, and we fixed a lot of stuff. It's because when we had problems, we put it up on the board, and the whole team would put their words in. And if it was an electrical problem, and they got there, everybody would say something. And if somebody said something that sounded stupid, we didn't go, ha, ha, ha. My boss man said, write that down. Write it down. Write it down. And at the end, he said, I want you to go look at this stuff and tell me what you think. And sometimes the donkeys help me fix it. And that Fountain, when I got there, they gave me 750 unsolved problems from the year before me. 750. And they said, they're growing and we need somebody to stop this here. And instead of going, thanks a lot, I got on my knees. I said, God, you show me. Show me how to do it. And I didn't go to the top. I went to the bottom, to the donkeys. And me and the donkeys, in that first year, knocked it down to 250 from 750. It's amazing if you listen to the donkeys. The ones you think ain't got a bit of sense, don't know what you're talking about. If you listen, they can give you some ideas and things can happen. So, we need to thank God for detours that keep us from disaster like that steakhouse that night. I could have been through a tornado with my kids and my wife. Thank Him for the interventions that may have hurt, but actually they healed. Because gratitude grows deepest, not in the obvious. Blessings come in the most unexpected places. So this next Thursday, when you see the Macy's Day Parade going by, or you got your people there talking about what they're thankful for. DC, come on up here. Instead, I want you to think about, including with all that, how God has protected you this year. In so many ways, He has done so much, many times without you even knowing it. Our God is a very powerful God. And I discovered most of the time I got some of my best clues in life from who I considered donkeys. Everybody stand up. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. No looking around. We could talk about Baylor Moore in the first of the year, but I wanted to start it off in an unusual Thanksgiving, thanking God for all the times that what we thought was a bad thing was actually a good thing. How many here with every head bowed, every eye closed? First off, number one, primary, is you'd say, Pastor, my first problem is I don't know where I stand with God. I'm not going to pull you out here. I'm not going to make an example of you. I just want to know. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know where I stand with God, while every head's bowed, every eye's closed, would you put that hand up? I'm not where I need to be with God. Bless them, Lord, bless them. How many here could say, Lord, help me recognize that sometimes the donkeys have a lot to say, and teach me to listen. Put that hand up. We're going to pray together right now. I want y'all to pray with me. Lord, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, for unusual thanksgivings. I thank you, God, for the donkeys that you've carried into my life. Help me, Lord, to pay better attention to them. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for my salvation. Help me to cherish it. And Lord, right now, help me to rededicate my life to you. And I thank you for that. I ask you right now to minister in a way that only you can. And this week, help me to listen to the donkeys that you've placed in my life. And thank you for them. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, Amen. Now we're going to say the Lord's Prayer together. Do it. Do it. Go ahead. Praise report.
Yesterday, I was coming home from church training. My van had been warning me about the starter by making a lot of weird noises. I had to be gas in front of it. Got the gas, truck with the van would not start. Everything we tried, jumping it, one of those little box things, nothing worked. We didn't make a stand. It turned out the starter was jammed into the flywheel. So it shorted out and began moving. God sent some people on my own. Saw me there and stopped to help. God sent a man there to help me. He came, I went to start up this auto store down the road. It was about a mile or so down the road. And the part I needed for a 98. Then I brought the part back. The man was younger than I am. Took the starter off. Put the new one on, we got it working. And God sent to help me with a mechanic who knew what the heck he was doing. And God told me to tell you all that, but that was my thought. I didn't listen to that song. I said, well, it's a bad line. I'll get out one day and fix it. Well, yesterday was the day. I didn't fix it. God sent someone there to fix it for me.
Amazing. That reminds me of the lady that locked her keys in the car, and she said, God, you got to help me, you got to help me, you got to help me, I need to get somewhere. And a biker pulled up, and he had chains and all kinds of tattoos. He gets up and he goes, she goes, sir, can you help me get in my car? And he said, hold on just a minute. And he went in and he got her in. And she said, thank you, kind sir. He said, I'm not a kind sir. I just got out of prison for grand theft auto. And she said, praise God, praise God. Not only did you send me help, you sent a professional. All right. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. And after I say the Lord's Prayer, Brother Wayne's going to dismiss us in prayer. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.